The title of the lesson today is A Study in Disobedience. I do not have a bulletin. Since I'm back now, I'll go through about a box of paper this week running off handouts. I met with Heath before I went on vacation. I'll have the topics for our upcoming meeting. I'll get some flyers made, some handouts, some lesson material. So I'll get back with the bulletin next week. But the title is A Study in Disobedience. And let's look at the scripture reading again in 1 Samuel chapter 13. And Samuel said to Saul, so Samuel was the prophet, Saul was the king. You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So this lesson this morning is going to be somewhat of a negative nature. I usually don't do negative sermons, but we're looking at a study in disobedience. What is going to happen when someone does not obey? And notice here, Samuel tells Saul, the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. We usually think of that, David comes to mind when we hear that phrase, a man after God's own heart. Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. God is still seeking a man after his own heart today. He's still seeking a woman after his own heart. He is still seeking us to love him with all of his heart. So we see here King Saul as an example of disobedience and its consequences. And there are several areas where his disobedience stands out. In 1 Samuel 13 verses 8 through 14, we see where he usurps the priestly office. He doesn't wait for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice. He goes ahead and does that, and he is disobedient. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we see where he failed to utterly destroy the Amalekites, and Samuel severely rebuked Saul. So let's consider King Saul and some lessons that we can learn from his disobedience. The first point I want us to consider is that disobedience reveals character. Saul's disobedience revealed his character. And his character would grow steadily worse through the passing years. And again today, our disobedience is going to reveal our character. What is our character like? How do we respect God? Disobedience reveals character. Disobedience shows a lack of love. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we say that we love Jesus? Then we should keep his commandments. And John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. You know, God has not told us anything that is impossible for us to do. And when you think about the reward that is waiting for us, and that eternal reward, we cannot do enough for the few short years that we are here to show or to come close to showing the love that we should have for God. Love is a great motivator. We are to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And disobedience shows a lack of love. It shows a lack of love. And disobedience shows a lack of respect for authority. We can recognize that in many physical realms. As a parent, if we told our children not to do something and they disobeyed, we would recognize that they were not respecting our authority. You see, you go out on any street, any town, anywhere USA, and you see the speed limit 35 miles an hour. You'll see people doing 55, 65, 75 miles an hour. What does that show? A lack of respect for authorities. A lack of respect. And that's what Saul demonstrated. Saul actually thought that he was above the law. The law applies to other people, but not me. And sometimes we rationalize the same way and we break God's laws. Yeah, I know God wrote that in the Bible, but that's for that person over there. That doesn't apply to me. Well, friends, God wrote the Bible for all of us, and it applies to all of us. And remember, Saul had begun his kingship with humility, but then he becomes proud, and then he becomes disobedient. In 1 Samuel 15 and 15, and Saul said, they brought them from the Amalekites. And this was when he was told to just utterly destroy everything. Saul said, they brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. So when Saul was told to utterly destroy everything, but they saved the best, the sheep and the oxen, wouldn't God accept that? I mean, they had good intentions. They were sincere. They were doing it for religious reasons. He didn't say we're going to take the sheep and oxen home and have a big barbecue. We've saved them to sacrifice to the Lord. Did the Lord want that? No. He wanted obedience. And when we disobey, when we don't follow God's word, it shows a lack of respect. You see that in the religious world. When he says sing, and we, instead of singing, we play, that shows a lack of respect. When he says you have houses to eat at home, and we eat in the building, that shows lack of respect for God's word. Well, the second lesson I'd like for us to learn from Saul is disobedience is foolish. It's just plain foolish. Samuel told Saul he had done foolishly. In 1 Samuel 13:13, Samuel said to Saul, you've done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. And Saul admitted this later in 1 Samuel 26:21. He says, I have played the fool. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. Friends, if we stand before God in the judgment, in a state of disobedience, we are going to say the same thing. I've done foolishly. I've done foolishly. We will say that. And Jesus illustrated the foolishness of disobedience. You think back to the simple child song. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Matthew 7:24-27, the two builders. We all understand that man that built his house on the sand was foolish, because when the rains come, it just washes it away. He was foolish. What are we building our life on? Are we building it on the solid rock of Christ, or are we building it on the shifting sand of the world? Foolish, foolish. Disobedience is foolish because it fails to take into consideration the terrible consequences of sin. You know, if I go out and build a little shed on sand, or build it on the edge of my property, and the wind comes along and blows it over, or it slides off into the creek or something, that's one thing. That's foolish. That's one kind of foolishness. But friends, if we lose our soul over the foolishness of sin, do we recognize the consequences of our sin? If we could only see where sin will take us, if Saul could have seen where sin would have taken him, Saul would have heard Samuel say, "God has taken this kingdom from you." He would have been able to see the disgrace before the people. He would have been able to see his sons falling in the battle. He would have been able to see himself so depressed. Saul was so depressed, he was ready to take his own life. Why? Because he disobeyed. He sinned. He acted foolishly. Friends, disobedience is because it is a challenge to God. It dares God to carry out his threat against us. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, I use this passage often. "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Friends, this is certain. This is certain. Just as certain as God is going to reward those that obey him, it is certain that God is going to punish those that disobey him. And when we disobey God, it's daring God to carry out his threat. And I shouldn't say a threat, it's a promise. It's a warning. Jesus is going to return in flaming fire with mighty angels taking vengeance. And I go out and I do something, I willfully sin, I disobey, and I'm saying, "I dare you, God, I dare you." That's foolishness. It's foolishness. When we disobey, it's the same as spitting in the face of God and saying, "I dare you." How foolish is that? But we see people live in a life of sin. We tend to think that our own sins are not so deadly. Yeah, that person, he deserves what he's going to get. We don't think about ourselves. We think that we are going to escape the grief and woe that others suffer. You see, people make some wrong choices, and maybe they get involved with alcohol or drugs or something, and a death results. They might lose their money, their home. They might lose almost everything. And we think, "Well, that's that person. I can get involved with this stuff and it's not going to affect me that way." Friends, it's foolishness. We tend to think that we will escape reaping what we sow. That's just foolish. Well, a third lesson to learn from disobedience is that it's expensive. It was expensive to Saul. What did it cost Saul? It robbed him of his kingdom. It robbed him of his company, of his greatest friend. And after Samuel rebuked Saul the second time, he left him and he never saw him again. And after Samuel died, he became so desperate to see Samuel again. What did he do? He went to a woman, a witch, the witch at Endor, and tried to get her to raise up a spirit as a Saul, so he could see him again. And that was the very man he didn't want to listen to the first time. It was expensive to Saul because it robbed him of his life. And disobedience is expensive to the sinner today. Disobedience robs a person of the peace of mind that they can have when they know that they are doing right. You know, God gave us a conscience so that we can feel uneasy when we sin. And when we feel uneasy, we can repent and go back to God. See, disobedience is going to cost us. It's going to cost us a lot. And we need to guard our conscience so that it does not become seared and beyond the point of feeling. And disobedience will rob us of our fellowship with God, even on here on the earth. John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins." But you see, friend, that disobedience, that sin, separates us from God. When we sin, we are separated from God. And it robs us of that fellowship. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." See, friends, when we disobey God, is he going to be listening to us? No. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It's useless to pray when we are in disobedience and rebellion because God is not going to hear our prayers. Disobedience also robs one of the riches of heaven. You think about that. 2 Corinthians 8:9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." And Colossians 1:18. "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." And just think, so disobedience is going to rob us of our home in heaven. Just think, here on the earth, if someone broke into your car. Have you ever had anybody break into your car? I have a couple of times. After we got married, I had a van and somebody broke into that and tried to steal it. A number of years later, I was in Cincinnati and someone broke into my car and stole several things. That's a real unsettling feeling to have somebody break into your car. I can't imagine what it would be like if someone broke into my house and took things. That's got to be unsettling. What if somebody broke in and took your money? What if someone broke into your bank account and took your money? And you know, people worry about that. They worry about that. And there are all kinds of these services out here to guard your money, guard your home, guard your possessions. What if something robbed you of your health? Again, some addiction to some substance and it robbed you of your health. What if somebody robbed you of your friends? They slandered you. They said something about you that was untrue. You lost all your friends. That would be sad. Friends, how much worse would it be if we are robbed of heaven? If we are robbed of heaven, that eternal home that's waiting for us. And who is going to rob us of it? Is someone going to come and take it away? No, we rob ourselves. We rob ourselves of heaven when we disobey God. And we can't point our finger at our mother, our father, our boss, our neighbor, our co-worker, and say, "Well, they made me do this. They made me lose heaven." We've got to point the finger at ourselves. We sing the song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And then what do we do? Do we love him? Do we show that in our life? Friends, Saul did not love God. He did not love him 100% as God tells us to do. And notice too, Saul's like so many people. Saul obeyed God to the point he agreed with God. Okay, God, you said to do this, I'll do this. You said to do that, I'll do that. You said to do this, okay. You said to do this, oh, I think I'd do it differently. And we see people in the religious world like that, doing that all the time. They agree to the point that they obey to the point that they agree with. But let us always obey God and never disobey God. So remember, when we look at disobedience, disobedience reveals character. It shows a lack of love, and it shows a lack of respect for authority. Disobedience is foolish. It fails to consider the consequences of sin. Disobedience is a challenge to God to carry out His vengeance on us. Disobedience is expensive. Disobedience will cost us everything, including our life. Disobedience will rob us of our fellowship with God. And disobedience will rob us of the riches of heaven. Friend, don't you want to obey God today while you have time? We have no guarantee of tomorrow. We were driving home yesterday after the nursing home service and came to an intersection, and there were balloons and a sign and a photograph, and Carol said, did somebody die here recently? And I said, they must have. Every time you get on the freeway, you don't know if you're going to make it where you were planning. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. And friends, none of us can afford the price of disobedience. We can't afford that. We cannot afford to lose our soul in eternal torment. What if Saul came back from that torment to warn us? Would we listen? We wouldn't listen. And he's not coming back. Why is he not coming back? For a lot of reasons, but God has already told us. He has told us, and we honor God when we obey Him. We dishonor God when we do not obey Him. God has promised to reward us when we obey Him, and God has promised to punish us when we disobey Him. Friend, don't you want to give God your heart? Don't you want to give God your heart today? We invite you to make your life right with Christ and obey the gospel. Please come forward as we stand and sing.
We have heard a joyful sound. Jesus say, Jesus say.